You're listening to Radio Influence.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Hello, everybody. This is the Tuesday, May 29th edition of the Landry Football Podcast. Hope you had a joyous weekend, long weekend. Enjoyed your time doing whatever. Playing a little golf, fishing, spending time with the family, just relaxing, traveling, whatever it was that you did. Hope you had a great time. And you certainly want to, in postmortem, spend time to just a minute to thank our many members that have served in the various armed forces and what they have contributed and sacrificed for us to allow us to do what we do and enjoy what we do. And I know a number of you listening have served and like to give a personal thank you. Thank you for listening. But thank you more importantly for what you did. That's far more important than anything I can contribute to your life. What you did for us and what the men and women of the armed forces today do for us is far greater than, again, anything that any of us do in the world of football. So I hope you had a really good time. We'll take a look at maybe some of the more intriguing players that I have seen or scouted that have come from a military background. And they're not an inclusive list because there are a lot of players. But some of the ones that I thought were really good that I personally scouted wanted to get a give a little bit of a touch to that. But we got a few things to get to today. Want to first of all tell you about, again, if you're not yet a member of LandryFootball.com, folks, I don't know what more we can do at this point. We have certainly given you a great offer. What a great summer package we have. We are breaking down the college game, the pro game every day. Our notebooks, our college notebooks, our NFL notebooks. Chalk with daily information that's useful, whether you're a college fan, an NFL fan, a fantasy fan, a real-life reality football fan. You get up to date on what's going on around the college game. Recruiting is big right now in college. A lot of updates there. A lot of looking back at the spring practice tape. All the OTAs in the NFL. All of that is in there for you, as well as our breakdowns of the college game. We're getting ready to break down a feature, breaking down players in the NFL. I'm going to break down rosters in the NFL. A lot coming up for you as we lead you into the football season through the summer. A lot of information that's going to get you ready for the football season like you have never been before. And it's the perfect time to join us, not just for that, but to avoid the regular price once football season gets here for LandryFootball.com. Folks, it's really simple. It's very, very affordable, very inexpensive. Just to cover basic costs that we have to provide you this type of information. So if you're listening to this and you hadn't had a chance to check out LandryFootball.com, please do so today. And again, you get all the summer roster analysis, team previews, daily notebooks. You get 50% off any subscription package if you do it now, right here, using the code SUMMER, S-U-M-M-E-R. Do it today. Get the football season locked up for our lowest rate ever. So take advantage of that, will you? Basically, what we got in our notebooks today are a lot of what's going on at OTA, some position movements, how some guys that maybe breakout players, college game, the NFL game. So a lot of that going on. A lot of news of how kind of the atmosphere is going on and particularly in the NFL right now with the certain teams. The college is more based on recruiting right now because that's what's going on in college football, recruiting. So we give you all the updates on that. A lot of good information there. Some recent commitments got the entire weekend notebooks up. And then, of course, we've continuing to look back at the spring practice tape to give you a better idea of what's going on there. So a lot to get to in regard to the daily notebooks going on in the college and NFL scene. So anyway, let's get into, I want to talk a little bit about, again, in honor of Memorial Day, talk about some of the guys, you know, recent, going into the past as well, that have been really good players that have come from the service. You know, Glenn Coffey comes to mind out of Army. He had a good career at Alabama. End of the draft, was picked up by the Niners. He had a promising first season, and but it was his last. Turned out he wanted to do something more meaningful, and he enlisted in the U.S. Army in 2013. It's a guy that was a football player first, then went into the Army. Joe Cardona, who's a long snapper out of the Navy with the New England Patriots. We are very familiar with him. Alexandro Villanueva, an Army offensive tackle, playing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, started 10 games last year. Very, very productive football player for them. Go back, Pat Tillman is certainly someone that's near and dear to our hearts, as obviously we lost him, was a great player at Arizona State, great special teams player. Played that hybrid safety linebacker role well in college and then with the Cardinals. So he was a local town hero, and after 9/11, decided he wasn't doing anything that was worthwhile, that it mattered. And so he enlisted into the service. Chad Hennings, former Air Force defensive end, very, very good player, outstanding. Brian Fisher, another Air Force defensive end, very good player. Mike Anderson, outstanding running back, Broncos, Ravens, in the Marine Corps, really good player. Of course, you go back years ago, Chuck Becknerick was in the service. How about Rocky Blyer? In the Army, running back, you probably heard the story. I thought he would probably never walk again after getting shot in the thigh, certainly not play football again once he got healed. But did both extremely well. Becknerick was in the Army Air Corps. Obviously was a great Hall of Fame player. Played at Penn, a great player. George McAfee, Navy running back, receiver, punt returner, was simply outstanding. And Roger Staubach certainly played the entire 11-year career with the Dallas Cowboys. 74 years old now. What a player. One of the best college players ever. One of the best NFL players ever. A true Hall of Famer. All-American boy. You know, when you think about Roger Staubach, that's what you think about. This was a guy that grew up in Ohio, went to the Naval Academy, did great things on the football field, won the Heisman, served his country, played for quote-unquote America's team, doesn't get much better, then goes on and has a great career in real estate and makes far more money there than he ever did, could have made, in the NFL, particularly in that time. So what a great story, what a great life, what a great individual. So as I said to start the show, want to send our prayers and best wishes to all of our men and women of the armed services and thank them for what they do for us here, allowing us to have the fun that we do in our day-to-day lives. And again, wouldn't be possible without your work. All right, got a question here. We're going to talk a little bit about some breakout players potentially in college football. And we're going to talk a little bit about how Alabama under Nick Saban defends a spread offense so well. We're going to get into that. But before I do that, I want to answer a question, a couple of questions. One was kind of a tip off to what I just did, was talking about the military players, and was asked, what's the best player that was in the service that you've ever seen play football? And I just answered it in Roger Staubach. Again, you can't get any better in terms of a career, what he had. and certainly the prime position, the quarterback, has a lot to do with it. You can look at a guy like Chuck Bednarik and say that he had a, you know, great career as well. A lot of debt, but I think Roger is a standalone in terms of greatness and contributions to the college and pro game. Got this other question is with respect to holding penalties. Kevin asks, what is your level of satisfaction for NFL officials with respect to the enforcement of holding? Now, the line of scrimmage, it's very good. First of all, it's the ultimate in subjective judgment. But here's what the officials do that you may not be aware of. They spend a lot of time in training camp, in mini camps, with teams telling the players what they can do and what they can't. You can do this, you can't do that. And they do it a lot in practice. And so the guys are prepared. Consistency is what you're looking for. Got to have your hands inside. You can't grab cloth. You get your hands outside wide and you hook a guy, you're going to get called. So if you do it, and you do it five times in a row, you should get it called against you five times in a row. It's not the official's fault that you don't adhere to the rules. Now, if you call it one way, then the other way you don't, that's where you got a problem. Consistency is the key. So it's very good in terms of the enforcement of holding penalties. And the variation in certain games, where it may be a little bit more or less, has to do with who's playing and the degree of panic that the pass protectors have against the pass rushers. Question asked, would the league be better if defensive holding was just 10 yards of penalty instead of 5 and automatic first down? It's debatable. I don't know that it's better. I think that I would probably prefer 10 yards because the automatic first down is very difficult. But here's the thing, and this is why it is the way it is. It's 3rd and 15. All you got to do defensively is grab the player. Okay. 10 yards, you know, now you're still dealing, though. You're 5 yards short. So you don't replay the down. You know, that's one of the issues. So the reason is 5 and an automatic first down is if you deliberately, and you don't want to be able to just have to distinguish between deliberate or just holding. You want to make sure that you make the action, the violation, punitive enough that it will deter doing it. Well, by making it 5 yard and an automatic first down, you're going to try to play defense and take your chances. If it's 3rd and 15, what about if it's 3rd and 25? Well, you just grab the guy coming off the line of scrimmage. You know, it's 10 yards. I mean, it's not going to do anything. Do it again. You know, so, you know, in a perfect world, yes, I see where you're going with it. But I think the rule of having 5 automatic first down is the way it has to be because it would increase the chances of just grabbing a guy and you don't want to have that out. You want to make a fair and competitive balance. Would the league be better if coaches could challenge holding penalties? Listen, let me tell you something. No, it would not be. First of all, it's hard for me to answer that question with anything but no, Kevin, because I don't believe coaches should be asked to challenge. I think the whole premise of that is dumb. I've said it all along. It's the official's job to get it right. And it's the replay's job to get it right. And I believe that the best way going forward is to use the technology that we have and the eye in the sky in the booth and in the league headquarters to correct any type of penalty of any sort at any time in real time. You can do it. And with a earpiece in the officials, you're on the field, immediately give them the answer. It's holding. Go back. You missed it. Got holding on the left guard. Missed it. Line them up. You can't expect the officials to be able to catch everything on the field. Players are bigger. They're stronger. They're faster. It's harder to get in position. It's harder to stay in position. It is ridiculous to ask them to do so and to expect reasonable results. You've got the technology. You've got the manpower to be able to have a replay person, an official of sorts, to have that view, to look at every play as it's going on. He does nothing but look for holding, nothing but the line of scrimmage. The other guy does something else. The other does something else. And, then basically it goes in and you correct a call. You help them make the call. That's how it should be done. So challenging it would only cause more issues and problems. I believe more latitude on challenging should be there. But on a judgment call, Kevin, you know, it's judgmental. I mean, you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, you know, I know you say, well, the line of scrimmage is judgment because you think it went down on the 40. It's really at the 41. But do you sit there and say if the hands are inside and he grabbed it a little long? I mean, that becomes very, very judgmental and very difficult to overturn. However, it can be done in real time, because to overturn a holding penalty, it's going to have to be egregious. And there would be some, but a lot of them would be not enough to overturn. And I believe that the way it should go is not irrefutable evidence. I think it should be real time. And I believe that. And I believe that for a while. And I think that's, as technology gets better, that's the way it's going to be. Understand this, too. When they did replay, here's the frustrating thing for fans, but here's the reality that must understand. Replay was not done to get it perfect. Can't do that. Not possible. It's just to try to make it better, try to get more correct calls as best you can. Simple as that. It's never going to be perfect. So keep that in mind. Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the frustration I've had trying to buy car insurance. And I struggle with it because you couldn't find a solution. And so I want to tell you about some good friends at Cover, C-O-V-E-R. You got the difficulties, the buying process. Can't talk to an agent when you want to talk to them. Takes a while to shop around for different insurers. Then you're comparing apples to apples. They change it a little bit different, and so it makes it justifiable that it's a little more, a little less. Where do you go? You buy car insurance, it's just so much hassle. But why does it need to be? When everything else today is simplified, why does it need to be a hassle? Well, knowing what the policy to get and what coverage to get takes a lot of effort. And knowing whether you have the best price or not takes a lot of effort and a lot of frustration. Well, I've got you covered, literally. Cover, C-O-V-E-R, is an app designed to make insurance less of a hassle. You can request a quote just by taking a picture on your phone. The app then searches policies from over 30-plus providers to get you the best rate for your car, your home, pretty much anything else. It's insurance on the go. You can request a quote via the app on the phone at any time. The app does the comparing for you, looks for policies that meet your needs from over 30-plus insurance carriers. Rest assured, they're finding you the best deal that suits you. The app finds the right coverage level. It helps you get the level insurance that best suits your needs. It's fast. Sign up is easy, and you can get an initial quote in minutes. 2 minutes after completing your details. Cover will text you with an initial quote. It's insurance in a snap. You can start a quote just by taking a photo of what you want to insure. It's convenient. Our friendly agents will arrange a time to chat about your policy that best suits you. Save time and money with Cover. Visit cover.com/Landry to get started. That's cover.com/Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y. Check it out today. You won't be disappointed. Hey, how about some breakout players in college football this year? Kind of is going through the tape this year, this spring practice. Some names come to mind that have a chance to be really good. I've mentioned this name in the notebook a few times, and that's Cam Akers of Florida State. He's a big-time talent at running back that may even be a better fit in Willie Taggart's spread than Jimbo Fisher's offense. So let's watch that. Trajan Bandy, a corner from Miami, is really good. As a freshman, he was outstanding. Broke up half a dozen passes, lots of tackles, intercepted the ball. Tarik Black and Donathan Peebles, receivers at Michigan, could be really good if Shea Patterson can get the passing game going. How about Hunter Bryant of Texas, of Washington, the tight end? Dante Pettis is gone. This kid's a big talent. Jake Browning's really good player. Dylan Moses of Alabama, five-star recruit, is really good. Missed the two college playoff games with a foot injury, but you tend to forget him. He is outstanding. He's going to be back. Stephen Carr of USC, you're going to have to reload. Ronald Jones is gone, and Deontay Burnett's gone, and Sam Donald's gone, and T. Martin is gone calling plays. Stephen Carr is really good. Kyler Murray, how good can he be replacing Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma? How about Jeffrey Adoa of Ohio State, the cornerback? Really good player. Juwan Pass of Louisville will certainly be a tough fill to replace Amar Jackson, but he's really good. Malcolm Perry, the quarterback at Navy, really good player that I'm looking forward to seeing. How about Jalen Reagor of TCU, the receiver? Miles Sanders, the running back of Penn State. No, not Saquon Barkley, but really good. Jaylene Phillips, a defensive lineman out of UCLA, big-time recruit, big-time prospect, good player. Dylan Stoner of Oklahoma State, outstanding receiver, should be another one to look for this year. So we'll bring you some different notes as we go along through our spring practice findings. Want to remind you again, before we cut a little shorter today and get to the rest of the story, want to remind you again about our summer savings special at LandryFootball.com. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, encourage you to do so today. Get in all the summer roster analysis, the team previews, the daily notebooks from the college and NFL scene. Get 50% off of any subscription package. All you got to do is use the coupon code SUMMER. Do it today. Have the football season locked up. Listen, if you like football, you'll love LandryFootball.com. So check it out today. Use the coupon code SUMMER for the discount. Lots of talk in this time frame, this time of year, and obviously over the past several years about, you know, player safety, changing the kickoff rules, which we did it again a couple of weeks ago at the owners' meetings. And wanted to kind of go, you know, some people have said should change and drop them and the kickoffs. And just to give you an idea of where this is not a new topic, but it's how it evolves. Player safety is certainly of paramount importance, and it's important to understand why. We'd love to sit here and tell you everybody's concerned about safety. They're not concerned about safety. Well, they were concerned about safety, and that was the only reason they wouldn't have Thursday night football. Okay, off of a Sunday game the week before. That flies in the face of safety. It's not safety that they're after. What they're trying to do is cover themselves in terms of being litigated against. They open themselves up to litigation, which is something that is new because players in the 20s and 30s didn't have their brains donated to science and examined. So players that died off in the 40s and 50s and even early 60s, even in the 70s, we didn't know why they died. They just, you know, natural causes, this or that. We just didn't have the information. Well, we have it now. Information is power. Information is certainly going to affect greatly how things are judged politically, societally. And what's happening is players that played in the 70s and 80s, as they're passing away, their bodies and brains are being examined, and CTE is a big factor, and a lot of news has come into that. We've seen equipment and medical advances for improved player safety. But they're trying to do everything they can so that if they get sued, they can say, we're doing everything we can from a rule standpoint. This is why maybe things are not the way you want to see them or the way they used to be. So I went back when football was first being played in American colleges. Of course, football was started in the Northeast. You know, Princeton and Rutgers played the first game. Very popular at Harvard. There were so many injuries and deaths on the football playing field that Harvard decided to forfeit it and actually had a funeral on campus in 1860. July 2nd, 1860, they had a football funeral. They put a football in a coffin and buried it. And on the tombstone was written, "It will rise again." And my point is everyone is in history, we talked about how the game of football is dying. It's going away. It's not going to be around. Well, you know, it was buried in 1860. It came back again with a vengeance. But just as dangerous as ever before, when it came back, it was considered a barbaric sport. So much that President Teddy Roosevelt was close to barring the sport in this country. But he was a fan of it, and he wanted to figure out a way to keep it around. So changes were made to save the sport, a move that was thought to make the sport soft at that time. But it survived. And what they did was made the game less of a rugby game. It made it more, they introduced the forward pass, and they created more of the skill. Whereas prior to that, it was not skill, it was a scrum. It was just get the ball, you tossed it, and there wasn't any design plays or anything. It became more of a thinking man's game. It was certainly physical, but it was not barbaric like it was then. Then it got into stages where the passing game became a bigger factor. But then, as you know, as we've talked about, the game changes more and more and more. You outlawed the contact by the defender against the receiver. It used to be you could grab them off the line of scrimmage. Now you can only hit them within 5 yards. You can't touch them. The game in the 70s changed a lot. It opened up the passing game even more. Even more so yet. So the reason I bring this out is as the game changes, while everybody's kind of wanting to write the epitaph of, hey, here's where the game is going, and I admit that the decline in participation in youth football is alarming, but still think the changes that are made are going to make the sport survive and eventually again thrive. It's thriving in terms of the economic impact, the fan support and interest. Yeah, people hate this rule and hate that rule and hate the targeting rule and all that. You're going to keep watching. And they're going to make adjustments. You're going to have to make more and more adjustments. A sport like baseball doesn't change. And quite frankly, it's regressed in terms of popularity. But it doesn't change. Football has to change. The bigger, stronger, faster athlete with helmets and pads makes it a more volatile game. How you deal with it, how you grow with it is the key. So while there are things that I don't like, there are things that I didn't grow up with, I learned to adjust to. So this is just to show you that it's in the past, and while these game changes, it's not always for the better. The controversies are fleeting. The game usually wins out to the end. And just to give you an idea how things change over the years, as I mentioned, when football was started in the East, you know, you probably heard of the Walter Camp Award. Walter Camp was a great coach at Yale. Then he was replaced by the great Howard Jones. Howard Jones became the coach at Yale, and Yale was a great program. And then some programs out West, some colleges out West said, we want to bring that football over here. So they hired Howard Jones from Yale to go to USC. USC's first attempt at greatness in football was in the 30s under Howard Jones. And it's not a new thing. Pop Warner, you've certainly heard of Pop Warner. Pop Warner was the head coach at Pitt back in the early 1900s. He was recruited to go to Stanford. Jock Sutherland was another one. So guys like that branched out, and even those days became great coaches at other places, and they kind of planted the seeds of the game in different spots. And, of course, as we all know, football is more popular than any other sport. So it grows, it evolves, it changes with a lot of consternation and frustration by the fans, but it still survives and it still thrives. Have a great day, everybody. We'll be back on Thursday. I'm going to get to talking a little bit about how Alabama defends the spread. We're going to do that on Thursday's edition of the podcast, as well as answer your questions about anything that you want. Send us a question, contact Chris, and we'll address it here on the Landry Football Podcast. Appreciate you joining us. Talk to you Thursday on another edition of the Landry Football Podcast on LandryFootball.com.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence. This is an In the Trenches with Ian Beckles. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Another thing that the NFL is really full of shit about, and it pertains to me somewhat. If you guys got a chance to see it, I unfortunately I haven't seen it yet, but Real Sports came out, and I guess they had a story on Scott Bradley, a former Buccaneer, fantastic football player, badass. I mean, he was a tough football player, man, period. And you remember Scott Bradley for big hits, being in the community afterwards. He had a radio show for quite a while later on, sports show that I'd been on. I've had Scott on my show. Good with Scott. I've known Scott a long time. I heard he's going through some tough times. And tough times not meaning I'm having headaches. We're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia, okay? So we have this hard-hitting 60-year-old safety who has Alzheimer's and dementia. And he applied for the NFL concussion suit and got denied.
In the Trenches with Ian Beckles can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.